When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof, like Alo or Allbirds or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet. And the not-so-secret secret? With Shop Pay, that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whatever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout Skims uses. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/try to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/try.
Welcome, everyone, to this Night 1 recap edition of Couch Potato Diary following WrestleMania 40. My name is Peter Klein. Thank you very much for tuning in either tonight or tomorrow morning or 15 years from now. This is living on the internet. Coming off of what was, I think, a very, very fun first night of WrestleMania, let's get right into it and let's just talk about what we just saw in that main event. It is The Rock and Roman Reigns picking up a win over Cody Rhodes and Seth freaking Rollins. According to Wikipedia, it was a 44 minute and 35 second match, and that's just bell to bell. The introductions, we timed it here, have some people over watching tonight, and the intros were 21 minutes. So basically, we had over an hour dedicated to this main event, and you knew it was going to start slow, but I was not anticipating it picking up in the way that it did. And this match had a very difficult task because everybody knew that there was but one outcome that we were going to see tonight, and that was Roman Reigns and The Rock victorious. And so I thought that that kind of hurt the crowd reaction at times, but they got into it. And I'm not going to say everyone, I can't speak for everyone, but I certainly, and I know a lot of people, bet on that double pedigree setup that looked like it was going to be the way that they were going to finish it. You just get that one near fall that people bite on, and that's what you need from this. And that is what this match accomplished. It was tremendous. Just a phenomenal, phenomenal performance by all parties involved. The Rock not easing into life again as an in-ring performer. And Cody Rhodes, phenomenal. Like, these guys not conserving fuel for tomorrow night. That is for damn sure. And you knew, like, there was going to be the shenanigans. It does frustrate it a little bit because it's like, well, if you guys can do this, then what's the point for Cody even winning this match if you're just going to do it tomorrow? So it took away the slightest bit, but that makes it like from a 5 stars to 4.75. I loved this. I thought it was great. It sets up some tension, or continues to set up some tension, I guess, with Rock and Roman Reigns with that spear. You get the Rock with the whipping at the end. That really solidifies things. And now you come away with the story going into night two of now Cody has an even bigger hill to climb after not being able to climb it 1 year ago. So I just thought, like, the whole thing, like, the slow setup was what it was, but then going into the crowd and the just absolute rule breaking just builds that anticipation for Cody and Seth finally getting their comeuppance. And you get a rock bottom through a table and then a spear through the barricade. And then, like I said, like the double pedigree spot after a spear, it all felt set up for, like, okay, maybe they're going to actually, oh no, they're not going to do it. And then just in one swoop, the bloodline takes over and they get the win. And now we set things up. I thought there was going to be a little bit more post-match, but I think, again, you get that shot for the second year in a row of Cody, arms resting on his knees, staring in bewilderment while the bloodline celebrates behind him. Now he has an extraordinarily difficult hill to climb going into tomorrow. at WrestleMania for night two. And it sets the story up so wonderfully. Mama Rhodes played her role tonight. A little surprised we didn't get like a solo run-in or something like that, but I guess we're saving that for night two. But no, I think this match accomplished everything that it needed to coming out of, or going into night two here for WrestleMania. Let's go back to the top of the show. Becky Lynch falls to Rhea Ripley in the Women's World Championship match at 17:05. This was a good opener. They both get kind of fun entrances with the reading from Becky's book. Rhea Ripley gets the live performance from the band that scared all the children watching in attendance. And then the match was good. Like, you had that back and forth. And I would say a bit of a surprise. We talked about it on the preview show. I guess that was just yesterday. We talked about this on the preview show yesterday about how, like, there's nothing wrong if Becky wins, but there was nothing about this Becky rise that made you think, like, oh, she needs to win this title. Like, it would freshen the division up, but they're going to be doing a draft probably in less than a month anyway, so that's going to freshen things up anyway. That was the point of it all, right? So, I was caught a little bit off guard by this result, but I thought this match was good. Like, I thought both performers did a pretty good job of kind of setting the table. Then we get to the six-pack ladder match, and as we discussed throughout the week, they made it very clear that you need to unhook both championship belts for this match to come to an end. And this was a wild and crazy ladder match. I thought the way that A-Town Down Under get the SmackDown Tag Team titles, this is the problem with having stuff like that, if that would have been the only thing, it would have been the quickest, most unspectacular ladder match ever. And then we get into the real ladder match. And they do that sometimes in, like, elimination matches and stuff like that, where, like, the 5-on-5, where it's, oh, drop down, DDT, 1, 2, 3, and it's over. It's like, that would have never finished a regular match, but just because we have to speed through this, we just speed up and get the ladder, speed up the ladder and get the win. But then after that, like, this match really picks up. You get the table spots, Waller goes through a ladder. The most terrifying moment of the match was Miz and Priest climbing up an already broken ladder, and that was drama. Right there, that was really scary for a second. That they all end up being fine. I think they were trying for a South of Heaven off of the ladder that didn't really look all that spectacular, but it looked like it would have hurt more than anything I've done. And you get, like, Kofi Kingston with the nesty plunge off of the ladder into that group of people down below, and then in the end, it is Awesome Truth getting the win. I don't think this will be one of those long title runs that is, well, the only time you can beat them is at WrestleMania. I wouldn't be surprised if they lose them on Monday, right? Like, I think that this isn't going to be a long title run, but you just felt so good for R-Truth. And it felt like R-Truth and Miz had a real moment at the top of that ladder after. And you got a little emotional, right? Because R-Truth has been so much fun in this company for so long. And has been such a, like, from just anything you hear, sounds like he is truly beloved in that locker room. And for him to get a WrestleMania moment, it reminds me, honestly, of the WrestleMania I was at, WrestleMania 32, where Zack Ryder climbs up and gets his WrestleMania moment, only to lose it on Monday Night Raw, but still, he gets his WrestleMania moment. And for R-Truth, very, very well deserved. It does feel like you now go from, like, serious tag teams basically for the last few years to now we have two joke tag team champions. So hopefully that rectifies itself very quickly. I can't, like, there isn't a there isn't a team from NXT that's coming up, I don't think. Like, Baron Corbin and Braun Breaker retain the NXT titles today. I don't think they're going to be coming up. Just a quick aside, NXT Stand and Deliver was phenomenal. And Julia coming out and being in the crowd, and then the camera cut to her when Roxanne is celebrating in the ring after a very good match with Lyra Valkyria. That was, oh, it gets you excited. Like, I was like, okay, I need to be paying more attention to NXT because this show was really good. Trick Williams feels over. Both he and Carmelo Hayes feel like they are ready for main roster call-ups here as soon as Monday or Friday this week. But back to this Mania, you felt good for the tag team champs there of the Awesome Truth. Then we get into another tag match as Rey Mysterio and Andrade defeat Santos Escobar and Dirty Dom Mysterio at 11:05. Interesting that they 11:05 and 11:05 for Jimmy and Jey Uso as well. But this match was really fun. And I said before we knew that the change was happening, that this felt like it could steal the show. And I don't think it did. The last two matches I thought really delivered. But this was a really fun, just a really fun match. You get the spot with Andrade, with Rey Mysterio in the electric chair, and they jump off after. That was really, really cool. The dastardly heels are taking over. You get some wild spots with the LWO and Legado del Fantasma as well. You get the Joaquin wild spot, which I was so excited about. I basically halted all conversations here. Like, everyone shut up. This was so cool. And it delivered. And then in the end, you get the Jason Kelsey moment that I was saying you absolutely needed to have. And Rey Mysterio and Andrade get the win. I thought we were going to get Dom Escobar and Andrade out of this. Like, I thought we were going to get a quick other turn. But if you stick with Andrade and Rey Mysterio, or Andrade and in LWO, I think it's a lot of fun. I think there's potential there. I don't know if it's a long-term thing, but I think there's potential there. And we've seen WWE in the last little while has done a really good job of elevating people from factions, right? Like Jimmy and Jey Uso from the Bloodline. I would suggest there was a time there where Solo was in that as well. That has kind of cooled off a little bit. But you look at everyone from Judgment Day. Rhea Ripley is coming out of Judgment Day better than she entered it. Same with Damian Priest. Same with Dominic Mysterio. Finn Balor, eh. But it's not all going to be winners. I would say Santos Escobar has come out of this LWO Legado del Fantasma thing feeling elevated. And so now if you can do the same with Andrade, why not? So I don't mind if this unit stays together for a little bit here. Mentioned up next, it is Jey Uso defeating Jimmy Uso at 11:05. This was the heavy on story match where they were telling the story of Jey Uso couldn't really pull the trigger against Jimmy Uso, like they were firing back and all these things. But when it came to the actual, for lack of a better term, kill shot, Jey Uso just couldn't really do it. And then Jimmy fakes him out with like the fake dap or whatever. And then he's like, nope, and super kicks him. It felt like then that match needed to get to another level. And then it just ended with Jey Uso. So this was honestly one of the more disappointing matches of the night. Like you thought with these two performers that this could have got to a real high level in terms of in-ring product. Instead, we get the story stuff. And it just, even if you're going to go that way, it didn't feel like we got a conclusion to this story, though, right? Like, it's just like, okay, well, he beat him. Like, it didn't feel like a huge weight has been now lifted off of Jey Uso, and he can now ride off towards the Intercontinental Championship, eventually the World Heavyweight Championship. It just felt like a win for him. So, if you were going to go the story route, then go the story route. But it didn't hit either of the marks for me. And so that was a little disappointing. Following that, you had the six-woman tag with Bianca Belair, Jade Cargill, and Naomi defeating Damage Control of Dakota Kai, Asuka, and Kairi Sane. The finish comes there at 8:05. This was kind of what you expected. Like, everyone kind of got a little bit in. But in the end, Jade needed to get the finish. She looked like $1 million. The wrestling is still a work in progress for sure. But I thought she looked fine tonight. Like, she's in there with a ton of capable performers. And I think she's obviously improved some things as well. So she is a force to be reckoned with. And she came out of this feeling like a superstar. Same with Bianca, same with Naomi. And like you even come out of this for Damage Control, even with a loss in 8 minutes, you still feel like, yeah, no, these are characters I am interested in. And so I think it's interesting now, where do you go with the tag team titles? Do you pair off Naomi and Bianca, or Jade and Bianca, or Jade and Naomi, right? Like how, do they all splinter off and now go after different championships and stuff like that? I think there are options here now. I think the women's tag team division, needs a substantial amount of star power. And I think any combination of the three that we saw on the winning side tonight would be absolutely excellent for it. And then we get to the Intercontinental Championship, where Sami Zayn defeats Gunther at 15:30 to end the 700-day streak of Gunther as Intercontinental Champion and start his own reign for the IC title. This was phenomenal. And you didn't know, like, coming in, it was kind of 50-50. Like, nope, Sami Zayn's not going to do it here. Maybe in Montreal in a couple of weeks, Gunther's going to get it. Or on the other hand, it's like, no, this is the perfect time to end this. And I thought, we talked about it on throughout the week, that the vignettes Sammy did with Chad Gable really, I thought, tied in this last year together very, very well. And you wondered if Chad Gable was going to be, he came up and said, no, you're doing it on your own. And you worried that Chad Gable was going to come out and cost him. But the way this match went was fucking art, man. It was so good. The Gunther hitting those wicked power bombs. And then when he hits both of them, it's like, okay, this is it. One, two, and Sammy kicks out. And then the splash. And then it's like, okay, on the second splash, he's going to move. And then he doesn't. And it's okay, maybe he's going to move here. But instead, he fires up, knocks him off of the corner with a violent-looking brainbuster. And then back-to-back Huluva kicks. And he falls into the cover for the win. It was, after seeing it, it was like, okay, this is exactly what this was supposed to be. Gunther still looks like an asshole. I don't think he loses one minuscule amount of momentum coming out of this. You can immediately spin him off into the world title picture, I think. And you have Sami Zayn conquering this, looking like a damn hero. And now, for the second year in a row, you have an opportunity to build Sami Zayn up as a legitimate main eventer that his talents and his abilities would lead you to believe that he is very capable of being. So this just, it checked every box. Phenomenal, phenomenal performance from Sami Zayn and Gunther in this bout. And Sami Zayn's wife as well. And his kid just wanted to hear the song. So that was adorable. But overall, I would say night one, a very good show. Like a couple of lulls there in the middle. Jimmy and Jey Uso match was a little eh. And Bianca, Jade, and Naomi, it's not going to end up on any best of, but it was never designed to be. It did what it was supposed to. But overall, like, I loved this show. I was very excited for WrestleMania all day, and then when it came time, I was not left disappointed by this night, and I thought it finished with a couple of really, really strong notes. So that sets us up for tomorrow. A lot of anticipation about what could come in the main event. I'm very interested by so much on this show. And we'll be doing another one of these post shows as soon as that one wraps up tomorrow evening. So my name is Peter Klein. Thank you guys very much for tuning in. Follow me on social media, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. I'm at Primetime Klein. Twitch.tv/PrimetimePK. A lot of wrestling content over there. If you are listening to this in podcast form, make sure you subscribe and leave a review. If you are watching this, then A, thank you. And B, make sure that you subscribe, like the video, and leave a comment. So we'll be back here with Night 2 reaction coming up tomorrow. Thank you guys so much, and I'll talk to all of you later.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger for thousands of appetizing ingredients that inspire countless mouthwatering meals. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week, and up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with points. So you can get big flavors and big savings. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.